Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
It's good to be here tonight with family. You guys doing well? Very good. Oh, Pastor Raph's gone all the way back to 20 years ago, back when it was actually Richmond AOG. I walked into this room November 20, 2005, and I just come from Geelong for a job, grad job, walked into this church, and I probably sat somewhere around there, around over there. Didn't know I'd be here for the next 20 years. Was single, trying to be content. Single and content, it is tough. Every other week, you got a crush on a different girl. Any guys around? I tried. The Lord kept me. The Lord preserved me. And fun years of being single, but the Lord was faithful when I met Candace a few years later. But I just came into this church. I was an accountant out in the marketplace after uni, and was serving as an usher, was with young adults. Igniter was called back in the days. We had so much fun. And I remember in those years crying right in this section here because I lost a car, lost $25,000 from a car being repossessed by the bank because I'd bought it off someone who hadn't paid it off, and I just had no clue because of my international student status. But the Lord was teaching me so much, crying tears in that. Will you trust me with what you have, what I've given you? You're dreaming for more. I have blessed you with that car, but I let you make that mistake. But will you put me before the money? Learned so many things. I remember maybe 2016, these chairs used to be like pink. Were they pink? What color were they, Pastor Liz? I remember the men's ministry guys drilling these things out, pulling it apart. And it's just amazing to see what the Lord has done in that time, in years and years before my time, how this house is so faithful. You guys have been faithful. We've had a tough year. You're hearing it again, like, not that again. But you've been faithful. David Ratcliffe's been here for 70 years. He's been faithful. One of our elders. So many people. Whether you've been here for 1 year, 2 weeks, 10, 20, 30 years, you've been faithful in hearing God's call to bring you into this house. And I just pray that tonight, as I share what the Lord has put on my heart, that you would hear from the Lord, not hear from this guy that people are cheering for, but that you'd hear from the Lord. As Pastor Raph said, I just love people. I don't know where that came from. That's probably one of the things that I know I like and I'm good at. Someone goes, what's your gift set? I just go, people. There's people everywhere. You can just hang out with people. So I got no dramas with people. Any people in the house tonight? There you go. I'm in my happy place. You guys ready for the word? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We've sung it tonight. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your presence that is in this room. Your presence that is in us. Your presence that brought us here tonight. And Father, as we come to your word, we just pray that, Lord, you'd open up our hearts. We open up our hearts. Lord, speak to each one of us through your word. Your word is powerful. We don't take it for granted. Holy Spirit, reveal your heart and your word to us. Lord, would you speak to each person? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I love what you said, Pastor Raph, that God is always speaking. Are we positioned to hear from him? God has been speaking in the service right from the start. God was speaking to you before you came. God is speaking right now. He will speak tonight. How do we stay in a place where we can hear what he's saying? The message I have tonight comes from Ephesians chapter 5. the Lord is speaking through Ephesians at the moment. I heard Pastor Cherie, you might have had a bit of Ephesians this morning. We had James Moody at South this morning. He was speaking from Ephesians. We're doing Win Our World at South at the moment. And I'm preaching, teaching, spitting from Ephesians chapter 5, 1 to 21. The title tonight is Watch Your Step. Watch your step. Ephesians 5, you there in your Bibles? It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what it is that is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word of the Lord, hey? It is so frank, yet it is so gentle, yet it is so loving. It says, be imitators of God. As beloved children, be imitators. Be examples. Be divine copies of the Father. Observe, watch, and walk with Papa. Observe him. Look at his word. Get it in your heart. Walk with him. He lives in you. In him we move. In him we live. In him we have our being. Observe him. Watch him. Walk with him. It's crazy as parents, being a dad to Isaiah and Zakai, Candace and I being their parents. It's crazy to watch some of the things they do and go, mate, what are you doing? Why are you rolling your eyes? And then next thing I see myself rolling my eyes. Oh, that's where he gets it from. I'm like, why do you guys say mate? You don't call me mate. You can't just mate. Like, but dad, you mate all the time. You say it all. I'm like, oh, do I? That's right, mate. And I'm from Zimbabwe and I've got this mate thing happening. I don't know what's going on. But it's just amazing to watch because they live with us. They see what we do. They just start to do the things that we do because we're their parents. Imitate God. Be imitators of God. Love as He loves. Be patient as He's patient. See, there's a difference between imitating and mimicry. Imitating and mimicry. Animals will mimic. We can mimic. I'll say, wave your hands in the air, right? And you can wave them. You can do that. But what's really in your heart? That's just mimicking. Animals will mimic. But with my kids, I'm like, dude, moisturize every day. I've been moisturizing all my life. That's why my skin's so smooth. We're black. We need to moisturize. Otherwise, you get this ashy look. See, they'll imitate me with some stuff. But they won't get the heart of moisturize. They won't get that. One day they'll get that. But you think about imitating. Imitating is not just about the external. It's about the internal. We imitate God. We imitate Christ because we get His heart. He's in our hearts. We're transformed and we start to walk like Jesus. Be imitators of Christ. What an example that Jesus has given us. But how are we actually to imitate God? How are we to imitate Jesus? Ephesians 5 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. This is how we're to imitate. We sung it, we love you. We love you. We are to walk in love. Walking in love. We can sing it, but are we doing it when we're out there? Are we imitating Him? It says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Love, a sacrifice. Love is not about receiving. Raph, you're already preaching my message before. Self-preservation, self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice, that is love. Self-preservation, that is being lovers of self. God calls us to be lovers of God and lovers of people. So love is not about receiving. It's a love that goes beyond affection to self-sacrifice. I was about to say self-serving sacrifice. Sometimes we can be like, I'm sacrificing this, I'm sacrificing that, but we're doing it for ourselves. Love is not about self-serving sacrifice. It's about self-sacrifice to serve God and to serve others. This is what walking in love is about. When I was a young teenager, I heard this definition of love compared to lust. Love is the desire to benefit others at the expense of self. Love is the desire to benefit others at the expense of self. Whereas lust is a strong desire to benefit self at the expense of others. We are to walk in love. And Jesus has given us that example. Jesus took your place. Jesus took my place so that we could share in His place. His place with the Father. To be one with the Father. To be one with God. So we can remain in Jesus. He says, remain in me as I remain in you. Walk in love. Jesus gave up His own life. God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We know it. God sent His one and only Son, that whomever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. That is love. That is a sacrifice right there. So we're called to walk in love by the one whom is love, the one who gives love so that we can be love. We're called to love by the one who is love. He's given us that love, and now we get to be that love. So how do we imitate him? We walk in love. Watch your step. Am I stepping in love? See, we can know it, but it's about, are we doing it? And he's there to help us to do it. But we've got to ask ourselves these things, because we can get caught up in the day-to-day, in the grind. We know it, but we can choose sometimes not to do it. Am I stepping in love? How do I do this? That love is in us, but why is it that love sometimes is a struggle? Why is it a struggle? Why do we struggle sometimes to love? I reckon we struggle to love at times because we don't put God in his rightful place. Other things in our lives, other relationships, whether it's material things, whatever it is, other things, even if it's ourselves, other things take God's place in our lives, and we struggle to love. Can anyone relate to what I'm talking about? So I want to ask you this question. What is taking his place in your life today, right now? What is taking God's place in your life? It says in Ephesians 5, verse 3, as people of God, these things are not to be named among us. In the NIV, it says there should not be a hint of these things in your lives as children of God, among you as saints. He's made us holy. He says, be holy as I am holy. And Paul is telling the church in Ephesus, these things should not be named among you. Sexual immorality, all impurity, crude jokes, filthy talk. But let's get some context here, guys. Ephesians 2 talks about how we are saved. It's not about works. We are saved by grace. So don't hear the wrong thing here. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So we receive his grace. We have salvation. Healed, delivered, saved. It's all by grace. But how we walk, how we step out in our daily lives, is it reflecting his grace that we have received? Is it reflecting who he died for you to be? Holy. What I love about God is whatever he asks us, whatever he is, whatever he asks us, he actually provides. He is love. He gives us that love. He is holy. He gives that holiness. But sometimes we let other things take his place. So it says, these things should not be named among you. Sexual immorality, what is that? Sexual immorality. You keep saying that word, there's kids in the room. Sexual immorality is sin. Sexual immorality is any sexual activity outside marriage. Marriage is between a husband and a wife. There is no condemnation. He's talking to the church in Ephesus, but this is also for us today, because we can get caught up in this. We can come to church, hallelujah, Jesus is so good. Oh man, if you only knew what I was doing the other week. God help me. There is no condemnation for those. We've been there. I've struggled with stuff like that. We've all struggled, and we might be struggling now. But God is speaking to people because he wants to set them free. It's there in the Word. Sometimes in church, it's like, don't talk about that. No, it's there in the Word. We're not going to skip it. Sexual immorality. What was happening in the church in Ephesus is that there was a lot of worship, different kind of worship. There was a temple of Diana, which there was prostitution happening in that temple. They were worshiping through prostitution. What we'd call human trafficking today was all good in that day. So Paul was saying, guys, that's in your old life. That was dark. You're now in the new life. These things should not be named among you. Sexual immorality. Homosexuality is part of that. Any sex outside marriage. See, sex is like a fire. You think about it in a house, there's a fireplace. The fire goes well in the fireplace. It burns. You get warm. It's good. But if you just burn any other place in the house, you start a fire, what's going to happen? The place is going to get burnt down. It's going to be destroyed. Because sex is actually something God made, something God designed. So in the right setting of marriage, it brings joy. It brings pleasure. But when it's outside that, it actually destroys. So that's a little bit on that sexual immorality. Most things we know about. Idolatry. What's idolatry? Idolatry is worshiping anything above God. We can be like, oh man, I don't have idols. I don't worship idols. But idolatry is worshiping anything above God. Do we worship anything else above God? We were made to worship. We were made for devotion. It's so easy to put other things before God. God, in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, the first commandment is, have no other gods before me. Have no other gods before me. Don't make idols. It says, I'm a jealous God. See, I'm not trying to condemn anyone. This is the word God. It's actually God saying, I want all of you. I want you to myself. You might enjoy those things. They feel good at the time, whatever it is. But then it draws you away from God and you're never satisfied because you know you need God. So he's talking about idolatry. God is jealous for you. He talks about covetousness. This is yearning to possess what belongs to someone else. Come on, who's never done that? Oh man, I want a bit of that. How come he's got that? Man, Paul's got the Ephesians covered. He's got you and me covered. He's talking about idolatry. He's talking about filthiness in our language. Australians. Do we have any Australians in the house? We're all Australians. If we're in here, we're all Australians. We all love to pay each other out. It's like the trend. That's never stopped. It's like we just joke at someone else's expense. Because it feels good, because we look good. But who has the last laugh? The enemy has the last laugh when someone else is put down. Because the enemy only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But it says we are actually to be a people that use our mouths for thanksgiving. Let there be no filthiness, verse 4 in chapter 5. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always. Pray in all circumstances, giving thanks. Pray at all times, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We all know what it's like with the jokes. We all know what it's like to worship, but then use our mouths for other things. But God is calling us higher to walk in love, to say, what's taking my place? So am I walking in love? Am I stepping in love? Am I imitating Christ? We get blinded. We get blinded thinking of ourselves, that self-preservation, even as Christians, it creeps in because it's just part of the wrestle. We still have the flesh in us. So we can get blinded that we actually can't see clearly sometimes. That's why it's good to remain in Him and He remain in us. Why it's good to have a daily devotion. Why it's good to have people keeping you accountable. Why it's good to be a people of worship. Because we can easily get blinded. But Jesus has given us the light. He is the light. So Jesus actually will expose. If you let Him search your heart, if you search your own heart, He'll expose the things that are taking His place. He will show you. We need to let the light in. We need to let the light in. Let light expose darkness. What's taking His place in your life? Is it a project that's taking His place in your life? Is it an outcome that you're so focused on that is taking His place in your life? Is it a goal that you might have? I've had a goal that I've struggled with because it just keeps creeping into all areas of my life, and that's running. Trying to get PBs here, there, everywhere. So much that this morning I ran 10Ks, 4-minute pace, and I got my best PB for my 10K. But sometimes I'm like, Lord, I would love to spend time with You right now, but I need to run. I can run with You. But things like that can take His place. What's taking His place in your life? Is it family? Is it a business? Is it your career? Is it a relationship? Is it an addiction? Is it hidden sin? Hidden sin is something you're struggling with that is not of God, that no one else knows about. God's put us in community, in family. You don't have to air your laundry to everybody. You can just find that one person, those two people. And where there's two or more gathered, the Lord is there. And He'll do a restoration work. You go on a discipleship journey. What is taking place of God in your life? Because secrets can eat you up. I've had times where secrets have eaten me up. But when you bring it out into the light, there is freedom. Freedom, freedom. So we are to walk in the light. Watch your step. Are you walking in love? What's taking His place? Walk in the light. This is the light right here. Psalm 119, 105 says, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When you walk in the light, God directs, and He does it all in love. We are to walk in the light. Jesus is the light. We receive the light. We were blind, but now we can see. Verse 8 to 10 in Ephesians 5 says this, For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Let God, by His Holy Spirit, by His word, point. Let God, by His light, point. Let Him shine on areas of your life. Let Him shine out of you. Let Him bring a laser focus into areas of your life as you walk in the light. Light exposes. You guys can see me right now because there's light. It exposes. Light directs. That's what Jesus does. He directs us. The Holy Spirit is light. The Word is light. God is light. We have the light. We have received the light. Light shows you where you need to grow. Light shows you where you need to go. Where you need to go, where you need to grow. See, as imitators of God, we actually become the light. We're only the light in Him because He's in us. We're not just the light. Jesus says, you are the light of the what? The world. All the evangelists say amen. They've got it, Pastor Cherie. They're all doing the work of an evangelist. I love it. We are the light of the world. But do we leave our light on? See, God can expose things in us. We can, you're like, oh yeah, I'm healthy. What is he talking about? What is he on about? I'm all good. But do you leave the light on when you walk out of here? When you go into that cafe? When you go to the petrol station, is the light still on? There's a story about this couple in the house. There's a power outage. It's dark. The husband goes to the closet to get some candles. But these candles keep making excuses. They don't want to light up. They don't want to give any light. He goes, babe, the candles, they won't light up. They keep making excuses. She goes, oh, there must be the church candles. The church candles. You see, there's so much truth in that. Some of you might have not caught that. But the church candles are the people that are supposed to have their light on wherever they go, but they make excuses. Oh, I hear from the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to shine my light over there. Leave the light on. The light is not just about pointing out your sin. The light is about us in our good works that he's doing through us, shining wherever we go. We are to walk in the light. Ephesians 5:14 says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Someone said this morning, we're sleepwalking. As Christians, sometimes we don't have our lights on, or we need to wake up. Isaiah 60:1-2 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. It says, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It says, for the earth will be filled with darkness. The earth is filled with darkness. It says, for the people will be covered with a thick darkness. But it says, behold, the Lord has risen upon you. It says, the glory of the Lord will be seen among you, upon you. This is the gift that we have as we walk in love, as we walk in light. But just because light's there, things have been exposed, there's been revelation. Ooh, that was hot tonight. Did you get that word? Man, God's speaking to me. But we can have the light, but we actually still need to choose what to do with what's been revealed, with what's been spoken, with what he's told us. So you got to watch your step. Just because you got the torch, you still got to take some steps. And the Lord gives us wisdom. Wisdom. We're to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. We're to walk in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're to walk in the fear of the Lord. We're to understand his will, seek his heart, and walk in his ways. We won't always understand his will, but obedience is walking in wisdom. Whatever he says, do, just do it. That's wisdom. Don't wait to understand it. Because you love him, we just do what he asks us to do. Yes, ask the questions. Lord, show me why. You can ask him all that. In his time, he will show you. But you've got to step out in wisdom and in faith. It goes on in verse 16, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Man, they were there then. We're still there now. Yes, it's intensified. The days are evil. We're to walk in wisdom. And the Lord has given us his very own presence. He equips us to walk in wisdom, to walk in love. What are you doing with the wisdom that he gives? What are you doing with his presence that he gives? It's not just for you. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. See, when we hear these things, sexual sin, immorality, filthy talk, sex, drugs, money. The solution is not just stopping it. The solution is putting him in his rightful place. If we really make him the one thing, go for the one thing, Jesus. If you go for the one thing, you will get everything because he's everything. But if you go for everything, you get nothing. It won't count for eternity. See, there's temporary joy. I won't even call it joy. There's temporary happiness and highs we can get from that stuff I've been talking about. There's temporary highs we can get from drugs, money. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's everlasting joy. That's God's very presence. See, the Bible warns us about alcohol. There's parts in the Bible that warn you about alcohol. Proverbs, the prophets, they warn you about the dangers of alcohol. And there's parts in the Bible that will tell you, do not get drunk on wine. It's not saying don't drink. He's talking about drinking in moderation. So you have Christians who are like, it's so good. Then you got Christians like, do not do that. The worst thing is when Christians judge those that do drink or those that don't drink. Man. See, the Bible says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. It says you should not be a slave to anything. That's the key right there. We are to be filled. Being filled with the Spirit, this is about a lifestyle. It's just not a one-time filling. It's a lifestyle, a constant lifestyle of being filled with the Spirit. So do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. This is wisdom. For one to walk in wisdom, they need to be full of God. For you and I to walk in wisdom, we need to be full of God. We need to be full of the Word. And you could just read a few verses and get full of the Word. Doesn't mean you have to read the whole Bible in one hit. Just make it a daily thing. Memorize on the Word. Memorize on the Word? What am I trying to say? Meditate. We got some people in the room. Fill yourself with the Word. Be filled by the Spirit. That's how we get wisdom. Could I get the lovely worship team to come out? Walk in wisdom. See, what comes out of being filled by the Spirit? What comes out of that? It says in verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what comes out of being filled with the Spirit. It changes how we talk to one another. It doesn't mean I'm going, hallelujah, how you doing, my brother? It doesn't mean that's what we're doing, like, how great thou art. It's not, it's just waste. Our language to one another is loving. It is from God's heart, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. He's talking about worship. When you walk in love, when you have him in his rightful place, when you walk in the light, when you walk in wisdom, you're able to minister to the Lord with a pure heart. But even when you're struggling, don't go, oh, I can't minister to the Lord. Come to him just as you are. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we're filled with the Spirit, we have a heart of gratitude. We focus on him. See, when we don't do that, we just focus on us. If we're not giving thanks, we're focusing on us and what I can get and what I can do. But it's supposed to be all about him. And what I love in the last verse, it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We're to submit to one another. We are to be unified. We are to walk together. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Be filled with the Spirit and walk in love. Watch your step. Are you walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called? Are you walking in a manner that is worthy of the calling that He has called you to? He's calling you and I higher today. He wants to take us from glory to glory, from strength to strength, to walk in Him. The Bible tells us that God is love. He is love. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love never fails. Love does not keep record of wrongs. This is who God is. And this is who He calls us to be. You can replace where it says God is love, or where it says love is patient, love is kind, with your name. And go, am I walking? Am I stepping in love? His love is available. His light is available. His wisdom is available. He is love. He is light. He is wisdom. Are you stepping in love? Is there anything that's taking His place in your life? Are you stepping in the light? Are you stepping in wisdom? Could we all close our eyes this morning? Because it's afternoon, it's night. Where am I right now? Let's close our eyes tonight in this moment. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're here with us, that You're speaking to each individual. Lord, we thank You that Your Word, the Bible, is God-breathed. As we've read those 21 verses of Scripture, Lord, You've spoken to each individual in some way, so personally, Holy Spirit. Lord, You want to do surgery with us tonight in our hearts. Lord, we want to walk out different. Your Word's already been washing us. Your Word is useful for teaching, for correcting, for equipping, that we would lack nothing. We thank You for Your Word, oh God. As I'm been talking about putting God in His rightful place, with every eye closed, every head bowed. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, I've never actually invited God ever before into that place. What place is that? That place that I'm talking about is a place of saying He is Lord of your life. It's a place of saying He is my God. He is my Father. Because the Bible tells us that God created man for relationship with Him. But that all of us have sinned. All of us fall short of His glory. But that His gift is one of eternal life. His gift is one of us being in relationship with Him. We have all sinned. But God made a way for us to be in relationship with Him. To say yes to Him. Everyone is born with sin, in sin. But God chases us down with His love. He pursues us. And He made a way through Jesus Christ. Jesus, who was there at creation. Jesus, who together with the Holy Spirit and with the Father created man, created the earth. God sent Him to this earth to live, to demonstrate His love. He gave His own life. He was fully God. He was fully man. He gave His own life. He died. He suffered. And then He rose again after 3 days. Defeated death. went to be with the Father. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But He's made a way for us to have a relationship with the Father. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit right now is speaking to someone in this room, saying, I want you all to myself. I am jealous for you. I brought you into this room tonight to give yourself to me, because there's no other thing that can fill you or satisfy you but God. So if you're here with every eye closed, every head bowed, and you've never said yes to Jesus, but you want to say yes to Him tonight, you want to accept the gift of salvation, would you raise your hand? I'm going to see it, and I would love to pray with you. Anyone who wants to say yes to Jesus for the first time, never said yes before. Is there anyone in this room? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now I want to ask you, whilst your eyes are still closed, is there anyone in this room, you know, even though you're a Christian, even though you've said yes to God many a time, even though you're walking with Him, you know that He's not in His rightful place, that there's things in your life that has taken His place, and that He's been pointing those things out. Could be addictions, it could be relationships. I don't want to suggest things. You just know the Holy Spirit is so good. He'll tell you. If you're here tonight, I would love for you to just, with every eye closed, we've spoken about the light. This is about you bringing things into light. You don't have to tell me what those things are, but by you standing up to your feet in this moment, if you know God is not in His rightful place in your life, just stand up to your feet. Keep your eyes closed and focused on Jesus, because I want you to start talking to Him about what that thing is that He's telling you that is taking His place. If that's you in this moment, would you stand? Would you stand? The enemy would not want you to stand. You're not standing up for me. This is not to give me kudos, but this is you saying, I'm going to take a step and I'm going to stand and I'm going to do business with the Lord in this moment. What is that thing? What are those things that maybe have taken His place and actually become almost like idolatry, that you're worshiping, that you're devoting those things so much energy, time, that is taking God's place. This is a moment of repentance. This is a moment of saying, Lord, You are my first love. A moment of saying, God, You are my one thing. I remember when You were my one thing, but I want to come back into that place. Is there anyone today who would stand? Lord, I pray for everyone that's standing in this moment. Lord, I thank You that You're speaking to them. For couples, for individuals, that Holy Spirit, You are so faithful, that Lord, You honor their hearts, even for those that are struggling to stand, if they are, Lord, that You are so personal, that You are speaking to them. Lord, I pray that You would shower them with Your love afresh. Lord, that You would give them the strength to walk out these things in the way that You want them to, God. That You would bring people around them to do the journey with them. That, Lord, they would know that You are with them. That, Lord, as they're bringing these things to light, that, Lord, You are bringing freedom. You're going to equip them. And that, Lord God, You would have Your way. You would have Your way. Can we all stand in this moment? No hands went up when I asked if anyone wants to say yes for the first time. And that's cool. But I just want to pray with you a prayer of recommitment that we all get to pray. Because there might be some people here today, you didn't want to stand up. I've sat with people after church and they've said, hey, I wanted to put my hand up, but I didn't because I was a bit scared. And if that's you, don't stress. Just talk to someone after this. Make sure you talk to someone. But let's pray this prayer together of declaring our love for God, of asking Him to be our Lord and Savior, of asking Him to take the lead. Pray these words after me. Dear Lord, You are my God. I believe in Jesus. I believe He is Your Son. I believe that He died. I believe that He rose again so that I could know You, so that I could walk with You. So take all of me, Lord. I receive You. Come into my life. I am Yours. You are my Lord. Forgive me, Father, for my sins. I thank You that You gave me Jesus, that He paid the price so that I could walk with You, so that I could be free. Lead me from this day on. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hey, can we just praise the Lord for a moment right now? Just clap, clap, shout for Him. He's setting people free tonight. He's setting people free tonight. He's setting people free tonight. Now there's people that stood up in that time where I said, if there's something that is taking God's place in your life, there's people that stood up. I believe there's people that should have and wanted to stand up that didn't stand up. What I want to ask you to do, we're family in this room, right? I want to ask you, everyone here, to be bold. Find two people and ask them that question. Is there anything that is taking God's place in your life? And hear them. Pray with them. If you're not doing that with them, let's just worship. I want to have a moment. Don't waste this moment. This is what family is all about. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is not about you. This is about the other person. This is about Jesus. So as we worship right now, as Joel leads us, find two people and ask them, is there anything that maybe God's pointed on tonight? And don't leave anyone hanging. Imagine that. Think about everyone else. Forget yourself and be there for someone else. Let's take the next few moments to pray for one another as we worship.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.